One of the buzzwords today in America is fake news or fact checking. It seems to me every branch of media today much into fact checking to find some truth or falsehood, either way, in anyone's claims. In a sense, it's a good thing that people search for truthfulness in what they hear or read. And that's the topic we are going to think about this morning, the truthfulness in the context of the Bible, which we call God's Word. If someone comes to you, your friend, for example, and asks you, you've been a Christian for some years, how do you know that the Bible is true? How would you answer it? I'd like to share with you the way that I would answer the question like that in the following three ways. Now, first of all, the Bible has been constantly and consistently attested by countless people, both in the West and in the East, from its inception and for the next three millennia, both by friends and foes, scholars and ordinary readers like you and me. It has been through fires and persecutions. Yet it withstood all the cynicisms and criticisms and mockeries and even attempts to wipe it out from the surface of the earth. And today it stands strong. Only truth can do such a thing, stand strong after all these years. Because the nature of truth is, it lasts forever. Now imagine this. In the Bible, you find 66 books written by more than 40 authors who were inspired by God. Now to consider their backgrounds too. They didn't live altogether like contemporaries, no. We are talking about, you know, close to 2,000 years of span. And their backgrounds were vastly different, ranging from farmers, shepherds, kings, a tax collector, fishermen, and even a doctor. And yet, it has a consistent theme, and it focuses on only one person, who is Jesus the Christ. The same Bible today stands true and stronger than ever. Did you know that it is the number one bestseller in the world? Billions of people read and believe in the Bible as God's Word. Now, one of the people who thought the Bible is not God's truth was Voltaire, the French philosopher. And Pastor Rick Warren puts very nicely, so I'm going to just quote what he wrote. Voltaire, the famous French philosopher, was a brilliant atheist. He wrote a number of tracts deriding the Bible. He once made a very bold statement. 100 years from today, the Bible will be a forgotten book. For your information, Voltaire was active in the 18th century, 1700s. So we are living in the 21st century. Pastor Rick Warren continues, today, everyone has forgotten that quote. Not the Bible. After Voltaire died, for nearly 100 years, his homestead was used as the book depository for the French Bible Society. They sold Bibles out of his house. It's now a museum. People have forgotten Voltaire. Nobody forgets the Bible. We know the Bible is true because it lasts forever. The second reason why we can trust the Bible is this, because we believe in the integrity of the authors. As I said, prophets and apostles, men and women of faith. For thousands of years, these believers boldly testified with their integrity that the Bible is truth that we can trust. They all testified with their lives that it is God's word. Again, the key word here is integrity. How do you know whether a person is telling you the truth or not? In my humble opinion, by his or her integrity. And let's say some of you have never been to Seoul, Korea. But would you believe if I said to you that there's such a city in South Korea filled with millions of people, actually bigger than New York City? You would believe me simply because you trust in my integrity that I am telling you the truth, not lies. Likewise, we believe in the integrity of all the prophets, such as Abraham, Moses, and even Jesus, who tell us the truth in the Bible. We believe in the integrity of the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ, who truthfully testified what they had witnessed with their eyes and ears and hands. I believe when John the apostle says that I have touched the Lord with my hands, I believe it. Because of his integrity. For the next 2,000 years, countless believers also testified that the Bible is God's word, the truth. We believe in their integrity as well. We trust in the Bible because of the integrity of witnesses. The third reason, and the most important reason, the reason why we believe the scripture is true is because it calls a spade a spade. It tells us the truth as God sees. It does not mince a word or show any favoritism to anyone. Because God is not afraid of anyone, it does not bend the truth to please anyone either. He never changes the facts to please humans. He doesn't have to. He tells the truth as it is. And here's one example. That's why I chose today's text. Some of, like John, have a hard time reading all these strange names and so forth. Sorry. It is known as the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the first chapter of the New Testament in Matthew. If you read one more time in the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, in verse 6, I'm just going to read again, David was the father of Solomon by Bathsheba, who had been the wife of Uriah. Now, it is not clear whether Bathsheba lost her husband, became a widow, and that's why she became the wife of David, the mother of Solomon, and so forth. It's not really clear. But it is clear in the original Greek text, I took the liberty of translating in my own words, it literally says this, David the king begot Solomon by the wife of Uriah. Period. The wife of Uriah. Bathsheba, even though David married her later on, in the eyes of God, was still the wife of Uriah. Now, folks, I read this chapter scores of times. Most of the time I skim through, oh, I know this genealogy of Jesus, who begot who, all these things. Until one day I was reading it, and all of a sudden, the wife of Uriah, where I discovered God's character. He is a truth teller. No matter what, he tells us the truth. In fact, you'll find the Bible full of examples of truth telling about all God's people. God does not show favoritism. There are a few examples. We all know Noah, the guy with the, you know, ark. 8 people were saved, Sunday school lessons and so forth. Noah was known to God, the righteous man. But this is how the Bible recorded about him. After the flood, he had, you know, just all this harvest coming in, and he was pleased, and he was drunk. So far, so good, except when you're drunk, you don't know what you're doing. Obviously, he stripped up himself and slept drunk. Well, he was exposed to his three sons, and they didn't know what to do, and they went backward, you know, walking backward and covered their father and so forth. Now, if you are Noah, if I am Noah, I would ask God, Lord, when you write your Bible, please skip that part. I'm not really proud of that one. Well, God says that's what it is. Think of Abraham, who was known to us as the father of faith. Well, the Bible also records about Abraham telling a lie. This is not a small fib. It was a big lie. What happened is that he told the king Abimelech that Sarah, his wife, was my sister. And what happened is the king Abimelech, okay, that's your sister? She's beautiful. I want to have her as my wife. So the king took her away. And God intervened, no, no, Abimelech, don't even think about touching her. She is someone else's wife. Well, this incident repeated twice, not just once, but twice. Abraham lied twice to protect his own life, almost losing his wife to someone else. Once again, father of faith, strong, faith in God, God will protect me. But the Bible records just as it is. What about Jacob? Well, he cheated his brother first, he cheated his father later on, he cheated his own uncle and so forth. All there, exposed. What about King David? Well, he committed adultery and later on he murdered the husband of Bathsheba. I think that's why the Bible records that it is. David, you did wrong. Well, King David, known to us as the man after God's own heart, all these things were recorded in the Bible. What of Peter, the apostle, who denied the Lord three times in one night? Well, one of the people who recorded the Bible, whose name was Mark, that's the second gospel in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark. Those names are the person who recorded the Bible, the gospels. Anyway, Mark was known to Peter as the son, spiritual son. I'm sure Peter was aware that when Mark was writing all these details of the gospel. So, if I'm a Peter, I would talk to Mark. Mark, when you get to the point where Jesus was crucified right before that, the night before, I know I denied the Lord, right? Can you just make it nice and you don't have to write all these details three times and so forth? Well, Mark just kept it on and just recorded it all. In fact, it wasn't just Mark. All the Gospels recorded three times of denial of Peter, of his master. The story goes on, folks. Why can I trust the Bible? Because it tells me the truth as God sees, whether I like it or not. God in the Bible always speaks the truth. And that's why I can trust the Bible as truth. Now, for those folks who love to have some action points based upon this, what I have said, I'm going to present to you three action points for you to consider and do it. Number one, know God through the scriptures, not through any human literature. You know, if you send your kids to public schools today, when it comes down to the Bible, they'll teach your kids the Bible is a myth, not the truth. There are plenty of secular books, literature, and media, too, that doubt that Jesus was a real historical figure. It's funny, I subscribed to the National Geographic magazine, and last December issue was Real Jesus, with Jesus, well, you know, portrait. And it's funny that almost every Christmas season, either a newspaper picks up or a magazine picks up, always something about, was Jesus real or not? And even that particular National Geographic magazine article, you know, the conclusion is that we're not sure. They're not sure. That's the thing that you get about Jesus from secular, you know, media and books and so forth. Therefore, I urge you to decide yourself whether God's word is telling you the truth or not. Do not rely on others what to believe and what not. Even pastor, I say that, say, pastor, I'll check myself. So you yourself dive into God's word and you decide. And as a matter of fact, there was one person who just did that. His name is Lew Wallace. Some of you remember who he was. He was the author of the book and later became a movie called Ben-Hur. You know, whenever you hear about the word Ben-Hur, don't forget, that's not the full title of the book. Okay? Ben-Hur, colon, a tale of the Christ. That's how he intended. Tale of the Christ. But we only focus on Ben-Hur, son of Hur. No, that's not the reason. Anyway, Lew Wallace, a famous general and a literary genius in the 19th century in America, he and his friend Robert Ingersoll covenanted together to write a book that would forever destroy the myth of Christianity. Mr. Wallace tells how for the 2 years he studied in the leading libraries of Europe and America and seeking information that would enable him to write the book that would destroy Christianity. While writing the second chapter of his volume, he found himself on his knees crying out to Jesus saying, "My Lord and my God," as the doubting Thomas did. Dive into God's word yourself and you decide. The second action point I'd like to say is this. Learn God's truths on life's necessities. Learn God's truths on life's necessities. You know, I often remind myself that even though I lose everything as of today, everything I have, I can start anew as long as I have God's word, the Bible, with me. Here's why I believe so. Because the Bible has everything that I need to know for my life journey to heaven. Here are some examples. Some of us struggle with the identity, you know, self-worth and self-esteem and so forth. Did you know that the Bible talks about self-esteem? As a matter of fact, God spoke to me in person, not audibly, but through the word of God, that Geyun Choi, never ever forget that I love you, I am well pleased with you, you are my beloved son. After God gave me the conviction, whenever I feel down, it's just, ugh, I'm nobody and so forth, God says, don't underestimate, don't look down upon yourself, always remember the way I see you. It picks me right up, folks. The Bible also talks about money. God says that you cannot serve God and money at the same time. You choose only one, and I chose God over money. It talks about forgiveness. God says, unless you forgive others, your sins will not be forgiven. It talks about worries. Do not worry, but pray. Boundaries and peace, joy, love, eternal life. What else you don't have in the Bible? Things that you are in need for your life journey. Therefore, it would be foolish of us if we neglect the true source of wisdom, courage, and love for our life's journey to heaven, which is the Bible. Learn God's truth on life's necessities in the Bible. The third one is this. Be truthful as God will hold you accountable. Be truthful. Do not help the devil, who is the father of lies, by being untruthful or telling lies. We all remember the Aesop's fable that the boy who cried wolf. How many of you remember that story? Have you read some of them? Yeah, I remember a long time ago, and I still remember. A boy who was in charge of the, you know, sheep, and he just raised a false alarm because he was bored. He was supposed to call, "Wolf, wolf." The people showed up. "Where is the wolf? Where is the wolf?" "There is no wolf." The people said that, don't raise the false alarm. Second time, he raised it again. "Wolf, wolf." The adults, all the villagers showed up, but there was no wolf. And they said, "No more." Okay, false alarm. The third time, the real wolf showed up. The boy cried out, "Wolf, wolf!" But no one came to aid. The punchline is this: if you keep telling lies, no one will believe in you. Right? Jesus says this: say yes, say no, do not swear. Do not go beyond that. Be truthful in whatever you say to each other. As for closing, I would say this. You know, you and I have the strongest ally in our lives on our side. That is the Bible, God's word and God's truth. Read it, memorize it, meditate on it, use it and act on it every day, and you'll be blessed. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I always remember what Jesus did in the throes of temptation. More than anything else, he used the word of God. It is written. If he needed God's word to fight off temptations in life, how much more do we need, Lord? Open up our eyes to see the importance of your word in the Bible. Open our minds to understand your scripture. And open our hearts to listen and obey you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.